do this tonight. Take your Bible and let's open up to the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1, I want to show you something tonight, just a little statement, and then I want to bring you a short message this evening, and then we want to have a meeting with the bus workers tonight, Sunday school teachers and bus workers, immediately after service, just very quickly. So if you'll give me attention just for a few minutes tonight, Romans chapter 1, I want to give you a thought the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. I had a wonderful service, and thank God for what He did, and appreciate you being back tonight. Romans 1 is a tremendous chapter. Important chapter in the Bible, and there's one word that I want to look at tonight, and it's in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20, and the verse is, the last word of that verse, excuse. For the invisible things of Him, this is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That means you can look at creation and know there's a God. Can't be a creator without a God. Being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to preach tonight on that subject, excuses. Excuses. Let me give you a few statements about this. Any parent with children knows what an excuse is. Their kids give them all the time. Any employer, if you're an employer, you know what excuses are. People give them all the time. If you don't know, let me give you these thoughts. First, most failures are experts at making excuses. Most failures are experts at making excuses. Well, we're good at that. Number two, an excuse fools nobody but the person who makes it. An excuse fools nobody but the person who makes it. Everybody else says, yeah, we know. Yeah. But he's fooling himself. Number three, there are always excuses if you're weak enough to use them. There's always excuses if you are weak enough to use them. That means it takes a strong man to say, look, it's my fault. I messed it up. I'm sorry. I'll do better. Instead of, well, it's really not my fault. If you notice these days, all these kids that get in trouble, it's never their fault. Nothing is ever their fault. We're living in a generation, it don't matter what happened. You can catch them with a gun in their hand, somebody laying there dead. Well, it wasn't my fault. You know, we don't want to take responsibility. The next thing is, never give an excuse that you wouldn't be willing to accept. Never give an excuse to somebody you wouldn't be willing to accept from them. That means husbands, your wife, you don't give them the junk if you wouldn't take that same thing to them. The playing field's level. Don't tell your wife stuff if you won't take it from her, or your husband stuff if you won't take it from him. Next, the man who really wants to do something will find a way to do it. The other man finds an excuse. The man who really wants to do something will find a way to do it. The other man makes an excuse. Next, for every sin that you commit, the devil is ready to provide you an excuse for doing it. And then also, you can catch some men without money, you can catch them without food, but you can never catch them without an excuse. They've always got one. So let's talk about that for a few minutes tonight. And I, being a preacher, have heard them all. You know, if you're a preacher, you hear every excuse in the book. I'm telling you, people are talented at coming up with them. It doesn't matter what the situation is, they've always got an excuse. You got to remember that an excuse is different from a reason. You don't have a reason usually not to do what God wants you to do, but you make an excuse. Excuse making is an old business. Most people do what they want to do and then make excuses for what they don't want to do. My daddy always said that. Daddy always said, people do what they want to do. And if they don't want to do it, they'll make up some excuse to keep from doing it. So tonight, let me just give you some of these, and I'll move right along. I've been preaching a long time, and I'll preach on something, and I'll have young people come up to me, and they'll say, but preacher, you don't understand, everybody's doing it. Hadn't your kids told you that? Hadn't your kids come to you and say, but mama, here's what your kids will do to you, parents. They'll come to you and they'll say, but mama, Everybody gets to go. I'm the only one. I'm being persecuted. You're being mean to me. Now, when a kid says everybody, they don't really mean everybody. They mean some of the ones at school, and they want you to think it's everybody so you'll feel bad about not letting your child do it because you don't want them to feel like a weirdo. But that's everybody's doing it. And the truth is tonight, if everybody is doing it, that don't mean it's all right to do. The truth tonight is, if everybody's going to hell, I still don't want to go to hell. If everybody wants to go get drunk, let them go. I ain't going. Amen. Yeah, just because everybody's doing it is no excuse to do it. You say, well, all the wives where I work are leaving their husbands. That's no excuse for you to do it. You say, well, all the men at that work go by the liquor store on the way home. That's no excuse for you to do it. You say, well, all the guys at work do this with their money and go out on Friday night. That's no excuse for you to do it. In Noah's day, everybody was doing it, and look what happened. In Lot's day, everybody was doing it, and look what happened. So this whole thing of everybody else is doing it, that's just nothing but an excuse. I heard somebody else. Somebody else come up to me one time, and they said, now listen, preacher, you've got to understand, times have changed. And so therefore, it's all right for us not to do this or that, or it's all right for us to do this or that. And let me say, that's an excuse. That's an excuse to get to live like you want to live. That's an excuse to get to smoke pot, drink liquor, shack up, whatever you want to do. That's just an excuse. Well, times has changed, brother. You got to understand, things ain't like they used to be. And my answer to that is, you're right. Times have changed. Things are not like they used to be. But God's never changed. And the Bible's never changed. And if God said it was wrong 100 years ago, it's still wrong now. And if God said it's wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong now. That's not an excuse. Here's your excuse. My job is to kick your excuses out from under you. Take away all your excuses, because there is none. There is no excuse not to serve God. The Bible said that they are without excuse. Listen, brother, you say times have changed. That hell hadn't changed. Heaven hadn't changed. The blood of Jesus hadn't changed. The Word of God hadn't changed. Heaven's still sweet. Hell's still hot. They're both forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And divine truth never changes. Never changes. You say we're out of step with the times. That don't matter. Truth never changes. I had somebody say about me one time, they say, but see, you got to know about Danny. He's so hard-headed, he don't just change with the times. Now, let me say something about that. Look, we have changed with the times. We have a sound system. We used to didn't have one. We have chandeliers. We used to didn't have none. We have a ministry on the internet. We can change. You say, well, all the technology and everything? Why, we're right up there. We're live on the internet anywhere in the world right now. It's all right to change on stuff like that. But if you think for one second that I'm going to get up here and change my preaching, or change that book, or change what I've always said about that. Listen, brother, you are whistling Dixie, as the old saying goes. Don't look for it. Don't hold your breath. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. And brother, the book don't change. Truth don't change. God don't change. Jesus don't change. Hell don't change. Heaven don't change. And by the grace of God, we're not going to change on that. Amen. You never know. I might get me one of them fancy microphones that wraps around your ear and comes around here. I kind of like them, but they sort of get on your nerves. That's all right to change on stuff like that. We'll go a little bit with technology. I mean, we're on the internet. We have a website. Wow. That don't mean we've compromised, but I'll tell you what we'll put on there. Same thing we put on out the Word of God for all these many, many years. Truth hadn't changed. Somebody else said this. Man said this one time. He said, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you're sincere. You hear that all the time. TV personalities are experts at this. News anchors are the world's worst, and talk show hosts are like Oprah and people like that. They are the world's worst of saying, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere and honest in your belief. They really believe that. I want to say tonight, brother, that is an excuse. Amen? You say, preacher, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Really? Really? I mean, are you trying to tell me, how come in everywhere but religion there's absolutes?
What if you tried that at school? What if you went to school and your math teacher said, 2 plus 2 is what? And you said 5. And they say that's wrong. Oh no, you should not judge me. I sincerely believe that 2 and 2 is right. You lie because that's ridiculous. You know why? Because at school there's absolutes. In math, there's absolute. It's an absolute truth that 2 plus 2 is 4. It's an absolute truth that 5 plus 5 is 10, and 10 plus 10 is 20, and 20 plus 20 is 4. Those are absolute. You say, well, Brother Danny, what if somebody don't believe that? Well, they're wrong. They're wrong. You said, who said? The table, the numbers table. Our system of numbers says that they're wrong. Now, I tell you what we're doing. We are changing. I don't know. Maybe Brother Mike can help us out with this. Alicia or some of y'all that work in the public school system. There's a move on in the school system to curb the grades so that if a child just really tries, that you give them a good grade just for trying. Now, I understand that. I don't think you ought to deliberately hurt somebody's self-esteem. I don't believe people ought to be bent down. But listen, we've got to tell them that 4 and 4 is 8. We've got to tell them that 5 and 5 is 10. And somebody, you're rewarded for failing nowadays. We've messed it all up. It doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you are sincere. That's not true. Rather, there's absolute truth. 4 plus 4, 8. 20 plus 20, 40. The sun is hot. There is a hell. That's just as sure as 4 and 4 is 8. There's a hell down there and there's a heaven up there. You say, how do you get that? The Word of God's more sure than the multiplication tables or the addition problems. Amen? You say, well, I think. Yeah, your opinions are like armpits. Everybody got 2 and they both stink. That's right. That's right, brother. Your opinion. That don't matter. I got my opinion. You got yours. Big deal. It's not that way in sports. It's not that way in sport. I mean, you get them guys out there in the Super Bowl next Sunday, and one of them gets that ball, and he slings it down through there, and this guy takes off like that, and he catches that ball, and he likes that much going to the goal line, and everybody jumps up and says, "Woo! Touchdown!" And they say, "No, he liked that much." "Well, that's good enough! Woo! Touchdown!" They're all jump up and say, no touchdown. And they're all going to say, "Yep, Daddy didn't like it that far. It's 100 yards, 300 feet, and he liked that far. Come on, let him fudge a little bit there." And the umpire or referee or whatever they call it going to say, "Nope, he's down, no points. It's that far from being points." You know what most people say? Let it go. But that ain't right. He's got to be at the goal line or there's no touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, let me say that book has absolutes. It's not almost. It's not just about. It's not how you feel. It's thus saith the Lord. Man told me one time, he said, "I ain't coming to church. There's too many hypocrites down there." Guy said, "Come on, one more ain't going to hurt us." That's right. Amen. One more hypocrite, man, it don't make much difference. Ain't that right? That's right, brother. I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than go to hell with them. Amen. Well, lady said, "There's hypocrites in the church." I said, "There's hypocrites at that ball game you're going to Thursday night too. And you don't mind being around hypocrites at Walmart. And there's hypocrites at the grocery store. And there's hypocrites at everywhere else you go. You're the biggest hypocrite of all if your excuse for coming to church is there's too many hypocrites." One man said one time, he said, "I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible." Well, listen, buddy, join the crowd. There's a lot of the Bible that I don't understand. And if you'll admit it, there's a lot of the Bible you don't understand. And there's a lot of the Bible that nobody don't understand. Well, Sam Jones said, "If I understood everything in the Bible, I'd know somebody wrote it, didn't have no more sense than I got." And that's true. That's what the old preacher used to say. Listen, we don't know everything in that book. You think I'm going to sit around and wait till I understand it? Man said that one time. He said, "I don't understand it, and I don't accept anything that I don't understand." I said, "Really? I accept them lights, and I don't understand that. I don't understand how electricity comes out of the water, and they harness it, and makes come down through all them miles and miles of wires, and maybe you do, I don't, and it comes out in here and it makes light so we can see. But I sure ain't going to sit around in the dark till I figure it out. I'm going to say, flip them on. I don't care how they work, long as they work. I'm not going to say, well, I turn these lights out. I don't accept anything that I can't understand. If I can understand it, I don't accept it. Just turn the lights out until we figure it out. Lord, I'd say turn them on. I don't care how they work, as long as they work. I don't understand how I can put gas in my car. I don't. I really don't. Some of you guys might. I don't understand. I can put gas in there, hit that starter button, boom, that thing goes. I can mash a little pedal, and it'll pull me up the mountain going to Asheville. And it'll take me up there 55 miles an hour going up that. I don't understand that. I have no idea how that works. I have no idea how in the world it does that. But I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going to walk till I figure out how that works. Buddy, I'm going to get in that thing and ride. I'm going to get in. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But I'm gonna drink the milk and eat the cow and try to get out of cutting the grass if I can. I don't understand a lot of things, but I don't understand how the blood of Jesus Christ can wash my sins away and God can be real, and I've never seen Him, but I know. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to enjoy it all and accept it all and ride on home for the glory of God. Amen. Just an excuse. Just an excuse. I don't understand a lot of stuff, but I accept it. Amen. What's your excuse tonight? What's your excuse? Well, let me talk about these just a minute and we'll go. Won't be long. What's your excuse for not coming to church? I hear it all the time. Preacher, where was you at last night? I felt bad. Now listen, if a man or a woman is too sick to come to church, if you're too sick, I feel for you. God bless you. But you know as well as I know that about 3/4 of the people who say I felt bad could have come if they had really wanted to. And you know it, and I know it, and I know it, and you know it, and God knows it, and the devil knows it, so there ain't no use discussing it. But about half of the time when a person said, I felt bad, they could have come, just didn't want to. Now say amen right there. Amen. Just an excuse. If you really want to, you'll come. Yeah. Lord, I've seen them out about to die. Look at them grandmas in Kmart pushing them buggies. Look like they're in a coma. Got stuff hooked up to them. Walking around in there. I'm going like cow tipping. You think if you just touch them, they'll just turn over and fall in the floor or something. I think, bless her heart, is she going to be all right? I'm going to be right here to catch her. But boy, we just ain't able. One little booger, and we just ain't able to come to church. No, we just felt too bad. And to beat it all, Mama had a booger, and the whole family had to stay home. Daddy had to stay home. Kids had to stay home. Lord have mercy. You know that's just an excuse. Now look, don't come in here throwing up. Like one bus kid did back there on us this morning. Y'all heard about that, didn't you? I didn't see it, but I heard about it. We had a bad one back there this morning. And there was little pieces of chewing gum and everything laying in it. I won't say no more. But listen, bless God, he was at church, wasn't he? Amen. Amen. Everything that kid did since Friday was laying there. And listen, don't come in here like that. We don't need that. But I'll tell you one thing. But most of the time we say we feel bad, it's just an excuse. It's just an excuse. You say, listen, I felt bad before and come and preach, and by the time it's over, I was feeling pretty good. I preached to many a headache away. I mean, I'm about to die before I get started and go ahead and preach. Feel good the time I got through. Amen. That's right, brother. We have camp meeting. We have camp meeting sometimes. And we have people that come every night of the camp meeting and say, boy, I really got to bless. And don't come back to church for 2 weeks. Man, they got on fire for God. Boy, they really got a blessing, didn't they? That's right. Somebody say, well, I just can't make it preach. Somebody, listen, if I didn't have the gas to come to church, I'd call somebody to come and pick me up. You say, you're the pastor. That's right. And I want to be here. I could use that for an excuse too. I call somebody to come pick me up. That's right. Amen. You can't visit on Saturday, but you can do everything else. Somehow or another, you can make time and have enough gas to see Mama, to go somewhere, to go to a ball game, flea market, take off to Gatlinburg. But you just don't have time. Give a little time for Jesus. Excuse. Excuse. For not praying. Let me talk about praying just a minute. I think sometimes we make an excuse to God and our church and our family for not praying when really it is a tremendous privilege to pray. It's a privilege to pray. What if tonight I had this little bag here, and I had this bag full of $100 bills, and I had this bag here full of $100 bills, and I said, all you got to do is come up here and kneel down, stay 5 minutes, and talk about your family for a little while, and I'll give you $100. Why, everybody in here do it. I'd do it. I'd step here 10 minutes for a $100 bill. But listen, did you know 10 minutes of real intercessory prayer to God is worth more to you and your family and your kids than a $100 bill ever has been? Really has. Our problem is we feel like we're wasting our time when we're praying. Now listen to me. Everybody listen to me. If them kids can't behave, beat them. And everybody listen to me. Listen to me. You are not too busy to pray. Get your kids up. You say, I've got to get my kids up and get them ready for school. I understand that. You say, Brother Dan, they got to eat breakfast. I understand that. You'd do better off to get up 30 minutes earlier and get in the Word of God and pray that the devil will keep hell off the back of your children. Your children go to school. Even they go to, we got kids in here go to Christian school. We got kids in here go to public school. We have kids in our church that's homeschool. The same devil's after all three of them. He might come in a different door, but he's after all three groups. He might come with a different tactic or trick, but he's after all three groups. Let me say to you, you better learn how to pray for your kids. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. I tell you what's on my heart. It's getting youth rally time here in the next few weeks, and I want us to be a praying church. I want us to be a praying church. I want us to be a church. We could even start tonight. They'll learn how to get in the altar and pray. Husbands and wives, pray. Wives, after the husband's gone to work. You say, Brother Danny, I just don't have time. That's an excuse. You've got time to get on your cell phone. You've got time to get on Nosebook 30 minutes. But listen, if you can get on Nosebook 30 minutes, you can pray for 10. Say amen, people. Listen, brother, we need to pray for our boys and our girls. The devil, he'll make homosexuals out of every kid in here. He'll make bank robbers and drug dealers and drug addicts out of every boy and girl. All these little kids up here in this choir tonight, they need the power of God prayed around them and some mamas and daddies that can pray to keep the devil off their kid when they go to school. Amen. I read this week a story. This story was about a man by the name of W.L. McKay many years ago. When he was 17 years old, he left to go to college. You know them boys get 17, 18, 19. Man, you better pray the power of God on them. And his mama gave him a Bible. And she said, "Your son," wrote his name in it. W.L. McKay. And she wrote his name in it and wrote down some Bible verses. And she said, "Here, son, take this with you. Let this book guide your life." Well, he went to college and went wild. Went crazy. He got messed up and got drunk one night, and he pawned that Bible, sold that Bible for whiskey. That's how bad he got. He was wicked, lived a wicked life, and he dropped out of school and got wicked, and he finally got straightened back out and went to school. He lived for the devil and got drunk half the time, and his drinking got worse and worse, which it always does. Worse and worse and worse and worse. And brother, his mama like to broke her heart, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And she said, "God, get a hold of my boy. God, get a hold of my boy." And his mama died. And died and went home to be with the Lord, and him living wicked. And he later on became a doctor. And one day, as he was a doctor and a patient in the hospital, this man was dying, one of his patients. And a man was saying, "Bring me my book. Bring me my book." And he said, "What book's that they're talking about?" And his wife came out with a Bible and brought it to him. And the man laid there and died in his presence. And it got a hold of him. And he said, "I want to see that book that woman brought to this dying man." And he picked it up and looked at it, and it looked familiar. And he opened it up, and it was his Bible that his mama had given way back when he was 17 years old. Yeah. Are you listening, parents? Are you mothers and daddies? Listen to me. He said it was the Bible that his mama gave him when he was 17 years old. And it shook him up. And he went back to his office. And he got it down. And he saw where his mama wrote his name. And he saw where his mama wrote Bible verses. And he got down on his knees and got right with God and became a preacher. You know why? That old mama that prayed for him till she died and God heard and answered those prayers. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm not wasting my time when I'm praying. I'm getting a hold of a holy God to get a hold of them girls sitting over there and them grandkids and my family. And if I'm dead and gone, I'm going to trust God to still get a hold of every one of them. You're going to have a hard time getting away from a praying mama or a praying daddy. Isn't that something? God had that Bible right there where he could find it. Tell you what happened the other day. I talked to a preacher. We're getting ready for youth rally. You're going to hear it. I talked to a preacher the other day. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I work with a boy, a Mexican boy, he said, and I tried to witness to him. He said, I tried to witness to him several times. And he said, I witnessed to him. He said, it's just like, okay. He said, a funny thing happened last year. He said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to fast. And he said, I was fasting. Listen to me, church. And he said, I was fasting. And he said, I fasted for about 4 days. And he said, on that fourth day, me and that boy was driving to work one morning. And he said, Preacher, can I talk to you? And I looked over and he said, tears was running down that boy's face. Boy said, he said, I hadn't even said a word to him. You know who that is, don't you? Amen. That's God, brother. He said tears was running down his face. And I said, what do you want to talk about? And that guy said, can I get saved? He said, we pulled into a convenience store. And he said, I led that guy to the Lord right now. He said, I don't know it, Brother Danny. He said, but I believe the power of God was so real in that truck because of the fasting and prayer that guy got under conviction. Now, there's what churches are missing, that right there. We've got big programs. We've got big screens up. We've got singing groups. We've got it all professionally lined out. But what we're missing is when a sinner walks in the door and he's on drugs and he's on alcohol, that he feels something that he's never felt before and he knows it's God. Amen. That's what we need. That's what you need in your home. You know what we need in our home? We need our kids to come in and say, man, mama, I want you to pray with me. Daddy, but see, the problem is most mamas and daddies so full of the world and the things of the world, we don't have no power of God on us. And when our kids come to church, they say there ain't nothing to it. Mom and dad ain't real in mom and daddy's life. We need to quit making excuses for not praying. What if everybody here tonight said, I'm going to turn my computer off 1 hour a day and read my Bible and prayed? I never thought I'd see the time when so many grown-ups were absolute computer addicts. And you say, well, I'm using mine for good. If you're still doing it way too much. Lord, I got on there one time looking for something. I ain't looked at one in about 2 weeks. And I got on there one time and I was looking for something. And it went to another thing. I thought, Lord, I'm wasting more time doing this. I could get more just out of my Bible than I could be hunting this stupid stuff. Get a little bit out of it and shut it off. Amen. Amen. What's your excuse tonight? What's your excuse? I believe if we pray and if we'd fast, that God would help us. I read this story, and I'm going to tell you this now. Through it's off the subject, but this man was making a sculpture. And while he's making his sculpture, it was like a human being figure or something, he knocked out a chunk of it, made a big mistake. And what they would do, they would melt wax back in them days. They didn't have putty like we got to make wood putty. They'd melt wax and they'd fill in that mistake and smooth it over real good. And then paint it would look like, and it'd look, you know, real, but part of it would be wax, like his jaw or his ear or whatever, where they messed up. And there was a saying called Senior Ciro, which means without wax. And when they'd sell a
when they'd sell one of them things, they would say, this painting or this sculpture is sincero, without wax. What does that word sound like? Sincere. Sincere. And he said, when you write a letter and you write sincerely yours, that's what you're saying, without wax. It's real. Nothing fake. Nothing put on. Nothing wax. It's all real. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Is that ever what we need? We need some Christians that are sincere, without wax. Without wax. The truth is, you can't blame your wife, and you can't blame your husband, and you can't blame your lack of education. I know preachers that couldn't even read and write when they got saved and learned how to read, reading the Bible. And if you can't read, they got it on tape, CD, and everything else. You can't blame the way you was raised. You can't blame your boss. You can't blame your employees. You're without excuse. I want us to stand by our head for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed.